a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Leading us in prayer today will be Chaplain Augie Minsloff with the Abate. And the leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance will be pages Micah Palmer from Pierre and Whitney Schroeder from Mobridge.
Dear Heavenly Father, we bring you before this body of devoted men and women who have set aside their personal lives and have made sacrifices to serve the people of this great state of South Dakota. Give them strength, courage, and wisdom to make decisions that are good, that affect all of us. Provide them with safety as they travel to and from their homes and back to the Capitol. And open their eyes and their hearts, Lord, to follow your plan using your word to guide them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I
Clerk will please call the roll.
Representative Bartling, Boland, Kamak, Campbell, Carson, Consett, Craig, Coronan, Dryden, Duvall, Eklund, Erickson, Feichert, Feinstein, Gibson, Greenfield, Don Hager, Jenna Hager, Hayek, Hansen, Hawks, Hawley, Heineman, Heiner, Hickey, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Johns, Kaiser, Killer, Kirschman, Kopp, Lateral, Lust, Magstead, May, Mickelson, Miller, Munsterman, Nelson, Norstrup, Olson, Otten, Parsley, Peterson, Qualm, Rasmussen, Ring, Rompkema, Rounds, Rosum, Russell, Schaefer, Shanefish, Shrimp, Sly, Soli, Solem, Stalzer, Steele, Stevens, Tolson, Tyler, Vershiel, Werner, Westrup, Wick, Wink, Wismer, and Speaker Gosh. Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the seventh day. All errors typographical or otherwise are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Brian G. Gosh, Chair.
Second.
Those in favor of approving the journal will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. The journal is approved. Arlene, once again, successful. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs respectfully reports that House Bill 1061 do pass and House Bill 1056 do pass as amended. David Lust, Chair. The Committee on Education respectfully reports that House Bill 1064 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Jacqueline Sly, Chairs. The Committee on Commerce and Energy respectfully reports that House Bill 1055 do pass and House Bill 1051 and 1054 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Roger D. Solem, Chair. The Committee on Judiciary respectfully reports that House Bill 1070 and 1072 do pass and House Bill 1071 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Brian G. Gosh, Chair.
At this time, I'd like to recognize the folks from ABATE, stands for a Brotherhood of Awareness, Training, and Education. I hope you had a chance to meet some of those folks this morning. They provided some breakfast materials behind the House floor today in the Speaker's Lobby. If members of ABATE are here, would you please stand and be recognized? Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bills 26, 38, 46, 54, and 60, which have passed the Senate and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Jeanette Shipper, Secretary.
Motions.
Representative Hansen moves that House Page Resolution 1 be adopted.
Those in favor of the Hansen motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. That is adopted.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body,
a resolution expressing the appreciation and gratitude of the House of Representatives of the 88th Legislature of the State of South Dakota to Taylan Albright, Donald Beckwith, Bevan Clapper, James Geppert II, Ben Goody, James Huntley II, Riley Larson, Micah Palmer, and Whitney Schroeder. Whereas the above named served loyally as pages for the House of Representatives of the 88th Legislative Session, and whereas the members of the 88th House of Representatives express their most sincere appreciation to these young people for their service to the state, and whereas the members extend to these young people their wishes for every success in life, now therefore be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the 88th Legislature of the State of South Dakota that a personal copy of this resolution be duly certified and furnished to each page on this last day of their service, adopted by the House of Representatives January 18th, 2013. I'll now read the names of the pages as they come and accept their copy of the resolution. Taylan Albright. Donald Beckwith. Bevan Clapper. James Geppert II. Ben Goody. James Huntley II. Micah Palmer. Whitney Schroeder. Please join me in expressing our appreciation for the great work of these outstanding pages.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Back to work, pages. Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Less moves that the reports of the standing committees on Ag and Natural Resources on House Bill 1003 and Health and Human Services on House Bill 1020 of the House Journal be adopted.
I'm sorry. Those in favor of the Less motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Go ahead. Nice catch. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 1105, an act to revise the maximum security deposit for residential premises. House Bill 1106, an act to revise certain limited liability company statutes. House Bill 1107, an act to revise certain provisions relating to drainage utility fees in municipalities. House Bill 1108, an act to expand the application of certain opening meetings provisions to certain committees of public boards. House Bill 1114, an act to repeal the confidentiality status of certain derogatory materials and to create an exception to certain open field, open records provisions for certain defamatory information. House Bill 1118, an act to revise certain provisions regarding special motor vehicle license plates for veterans with disabilities.
Did we get them all, Arlene? Speaker assigns House Bill 1093 to Agriculture, 1094 to Judiciary, 1095 Judiciary, 1096 Judiciary, 1097 Judiciary, 1098 Education, 1099 Local Government, 1100 Commerce, 1101 Local Government, 1102 Commerce, 1103 Commerce, 1104 Judiciary, 1105 Judiciary, 1106 Judiciary, 1107 Local Government, 1108 State Affairs, 1109 State Affairs, 1110 State Affairs, 1111 State Affairs, House Bill 1112 State Affairs, 1113 State Affairs, 1114 State Affairs, 1115 State Affairs, 1116 State Affairs, 1117 Transportation, and 1118 Transportation. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 46, an act to repeal certain outdated statutes and cross-references related to the Department of Health. Senate Bill 54, an act to revise certain provisions regarding references to the Internal Revenue Code.
Speaker assigns Senate Bill 26 to Health, 38 to Judiciary, 46 to Health, 54 to Taxation, 60 to Commerce. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1066, an act to continue the current rate of the gross receipts tax imposed on visitor-related businesses.
House Bill 1066, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Lusk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. I bring to you today House Bill 1066. I'm sure all of you have heard quite a bit about this bill already, and I'll just share with you the thing that sticks out with me in my discussions with the tourism folks, many of whom are with us today, and my discussions with them, the thing that sticks out with me most is a term that is a little bit incongruous with the bill, but it's manhole covers. I was approached, I'll say, by someone who may have been overserved at one of the events this weekend, and this person was very upset and saying, how could the legislature not support this? You treat half pennies like manhole covers. When you look at all the things that this does, this tax does, I mean, it's unbelievable that this would even be an issue. And, of course, then we went on to engage in a very healthy discussion of tax policy and whatnot. But, you know, and I concluded the discussion with really a sense of pride that the perception is we treat half pennies like manhole covers. That shows we're doing our job. And this body, since I've been here, and obviously long before, has not been one friendly to taxes. But the way this tax came about and the way it exists now and the proposal in 1066 is the prudent and responsible approach to taxation. 4 years ago, this half-penny tax came on, and it was for 2 years. And the thinking was, hey, you know, we've heard all these promises and expectations from the tourism industry. Let's give them 2 years to see if it works. And they came back in 2 years. And many in this body were still not convinced that it had worked the way they had anticipated it. Well, I can sit here today with confidence in saying it has worked and it is the way we should implement tax policy. And let me give you the statistics. We're talking about $3.3 million this half penny raises. 76% of which is paid by people who are not residents of South Dakota. 76%. So this tax is falls predominantly on people who are not our constituents and our residents. What's the bang for the buck that we get? $2 million, roughly, of this $3.3 million, actually 2.1, goes directly to matching programs. So local CVBs and tourism organizations can apply for matching grants from the state and get them. That's where that goes. 100% of it goes there. So this isn't being hoarded for some nefarious purpose. This is actually being used by the people who are engaged in the tourism industry to promote and market South Dakota. As you know, tourism is a $1.95 billion business in this state. And what do they do with those dollars? They invest it in promotional and marketing that directly impacts our economy. The increase since this tax was first implemented, the increase in economic impact of tourism has gone up 5.04%. This is the way we should do taxes, primarily because we don't pay them. I really like that part of it. That's a really important part. This is a tax that is imposed by people who ask that it be imposed on their services and their products. The testimony in committee, and I certainly agree with this, is that there are no complaints about this tax. Not one of the couple hundred odd people that were in committee said they'd had a customer of theirs, be it a hotel or a cave, Mount Rushmore, complained about that tax. And the reason for that is when you compare the taxes we impose on tourism-related businesses to the surrounding area, it pales in comparison. So in short, I would ask that you support this tax. It's the way we should do tax policy. It has a tremendous economic impact on our state. It was requested by the people who are being taxed, and it's the way we should go about doing it here. And I would ask that you support me in voting for House Bill 1066. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can be short, partly because it's Friday and partly because I agree with everything the bill sponsor said. This is a great public-private partnership. It's the way economic development ought to be practiced in South Dakota. It's a proper funding source, as was indicated 4 years ago, when we had a budget crisis, as often happens in cycles around this state. We had a crisis. Nobody could argue that tourism marketing was actually more important than education and health care and other basic priorities. And yet tourism marketing is very important. So we came up with a plan, and the tourism industry came up with a plan to find an appropriate funding source that didn't take money from other priorities. And as the industry, as the bill sponsor said, the industry has to really be commended, because it would only take a few people to really muddy all the waters and make this thing not work. But there's just total unity from the industry, and it's a diverse industry. Let's face it, there are 66 counties, rural and urban and big and small, and I mean, it's a very diverse industry, and yet they've come together with such unity. That's what really makes this program work. Also, what makes it work is the accountability. We can absolutely track how we're spending these tax dollars. We can track to see that they're really working. That's the way economic development ought to be done. Because of this program and others, we have a tourism industry to be proud of. It's the envy of the other 49 states, not only because we have Lewis and Clark Lake of Yankton and other things, Mount Rushmore and some other tourism things. It's not only because of those great natural and man-made tourism assets that we have, but it's also because of the men and women of the tourism industry who have shown such unity, such creativity, such accountability in a public-private partnership that I'm proud to be part of. So I'd urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow members, House Bill 1066, the tourism tax, is not a new tax, and the half cent is 4 years old. It's not a new tax. As one of the members of this body that has always been very hard to move on taxes, frankly, extremely difficult to move to increase any taxes, I support the continuation of this tax because it provides economic expansion. And when I say economic expansion, if you look at the numbers of just the people that are employed in the industry and due to this industry, we haven't seen a tremendous increase with the economy the way it's gone up and down, mostly down the last, till maybe last year a little bit. But even then, they've had an increase of employees in their core people. But when you look at the people that support it, we've had an increase from 34,000, just over 34,000 in 2009, to where now we have 36,600 that are working there. These are productive people, paying taxes into the state as well, but able to because they have jobs. And I feel like we need to do things that make help people to be productive and to earn livings that will help them stay in South Dakota. So I hope you'll support House Bill 1066 and continue it in an indefinite period. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Nordstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the House. And normally I don't get up and talk on bills that I think are runaway trains in the right direction, but I feel like I want to get up and tell you a little bit about my perspective. I'm the past president of the CB Board in Aberdeen, and I was a liaison to the Hotel Alliance. Obviously, being a legislator, I've seen us vote on this bill in the past. And then being in this industry, I have more perspective than sometimes I want to have. But I've seen it from so many different angles, and I've seen the benefit from it, from all those different angles, that I just ask for your support and vote yes on this bill. And I guess the last thing that I'll say is that there's lots of reasons to vote yes, but the number one reason that I keep on coming to is the budget certainty. The Department of Tourism, they need to plan, especially their marketing, not just next year or 2 years. They need to be able to have a dedicated source to plan. And if they don't have a dedicated revenue source by doing the general fund, it makes it a lot harder, and it puts their department at the whim of us and the appropriations process, which is not always predictable. So I think that's the number one reason, is it, the budget certainty that it gives to an industry that is very critical to South Dakota, and it does help us by reducing our taxes. So like I said before, I ask for your yes vote, and hopefully we'll get this to the Senate and to the governor's desk.
Further remarks. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Those of you who attended yesterday's tax committee meeting know that the representative who spoke immediately prior to me was shamelessly self-promoting his business. I'd like to commend him for not doing so today. All joking aside, we did have a very thorough and really a very good hearing yesterday. I appreciate the efforts of those from the industry who came and joined us yesterday. Their testimony was tremendous. Also, I appreciate the administration and the Department of Tourism for bringing this issue forward, for organizing, as I said, very, very strong testimony. To be honest, over the course of the last few weeks, I've been asked by a number of people to consider voting for this bill. And I'm not, as the gentleman behind me, as I stand this way, said, I'm not one who generally favors tax increases or extending sunsets or making taxes permanent that were intended to be temporary. But I will say this. In the last 24 hours, just a little more than that, every question and concern that I've raised, yesterday in committee, has been addressed. I've been convinced, at least for now, that the folks who have supported this are responsive to my concerns, to my questions, that they'll continue to work with me and the other people who have brought up concerns. As this moves over to the Senate, I'm going to give my vote of confidence to the industry today, and I'm urging you to help move this along as well. Please vote yes. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative. Order. The representative speaks very well, but it wasn't that good. Representative Cobb.
I guess I don't have to say anymore. As many of you know, I've been against this tax. And, yeah, I know I told the news media that I wasn't going to support it over and over again. But, you know, if we look at it like an experiment, a four-year experiment, and I know enough about science to know that when your experiment proves out, you should go into production with it. And it's for that reason, because this has been a great experiment. And it's for that reason that I will support this tax also, and I would encourage the rest of the House to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Any further remarks? Representative Nelson.
Well, that's a tough act to follow. I support tourism. I believe tourism needs the money, and we need to give them the money they need to successfully promote South Dakota. I do not support this tax. That being said, we've discussed other ways of getting money to tourism and also trying to alleviate the impact that this tax has on South Dakotans. One of the ideas was to fund tourism directly from the state budget, which I propose. I still, to this point, I would like to see that. I think that's the proper way to do it. And I get that impression from the citizens of South Dakota. I think we should all take one quick look back at the election this last year, where there was a measure put on the ballot, I believe it was 15, that asked to have a tax dedicated to support Medicare and the education of our children. And the voters in South Dakota overwhelmingly rejected that increase in taxes. Now, it's hard to sit here and see some of my friends up there and be opposed to this, but the South Dakotans in this state have spoken loud and clear, and they said they don't want increases on their taxes. Now, we can mince around words here, folks, but if the tax dies, and it's supposed to die at a set date, and you put it on life support and extend it further, that's a tax increase. Let's be honest with each other. And saying that, I'm saying that tourism needs that money. We should fund them accordingly, but not in this fashion. Now, if we're not going to have direct taxes go to education and Medicare, and that's what South Dakotans overwhelmingly told us, then we should listen to that. And the other thing that I listened to from my constituents was last year at the South Dakota State Convention that some of us attended. One of the core platform planks of being a Republican says that we as Republicans will work to reduce both state and federal taxes, the tax burden on South Dakotans. This is not reducing that. That was overwhelmingly supported by our own fellow Republicans. And historically, Republicans are the ones that work to reduce the tax burden on their fellow Americans. Now, we've got a surplus in South Dakota with a lot of money. I say take some of that money and fund tourism accordingly and start giving them a line item amount so that even if we have fluctuations in our tourism industry, they're properly funded. And it's properly overseen by the entity that the citizens of South Dakota elected to do so. And that's this body, and that's appropriations. So, unfortunately, I've got to stand in opposition of extending this tax or creating a new tax at its date of death. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Magstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to get up and point out some of the data that the tourism folks shared with us last night. And whereas I agree with my seatmate on reducing taxes for South Dakotans, this tax saves South Dakotans somewhere around $878 per taxpayer that we don't have to supply as South Dakotans into our general fund. So I'm supporting this bill as a tax reducer in general for South Dakotans because it does keep almost $900 that each of us don't have to pay. So.
Thank you. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1066. This will be a two-thirds vote to remove the sunset provision. Those in favor will vote yay. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 64 yeas, 4 nays.
House Bill 1066, having received a 2/3 vote of the members, elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1018, enact to revise certain provisions concerning elections and petitions.
House Bill 1018, having had its second reads, up for consideration, final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, bringing you House Bill 1018, which comes at the request of the State Board of Elections. This bill is comprised of 4 major sections. First section, this is a lot of cleanup in this bill. First section is to make uniform the law regarding the ability of an active or inactive registered voter to be able to sign a petition. Previously, when you haven't voted for 4 years or longer, you become an inactive. This includes the inactives, so they are able to sign a petition, a nominating petition for someone running for office. Section 2 details how a political party is recognized and not recognized. Currently, the only way a party may dissolve is by failing to achieve a 2.5% of the votes cast for their party's candidate for governor. This law would allow the national and state chairperson of a party to request in writing that they no longer want to be a recognized party. Section 3 clarifies the state law that a candidate may not notarize their own petition. And Section 4, I think, is the big section on this bill. This stops the ability for people to buy or bribe someone to sign their petition. There's been instances where somebody would say, I'll buy you a beer if you sign my petition. That is considered to be a bribe. I will buy your dinner if you sign my petition. A direct contract with that person. There's consideration involved. Discussion in the committee centered around a social event where if I was running for mayor of Prairie City and decided that I wanted to host coffee and pie and discuss it with my neighbors and announce that I'm going to run for mayor, oh, and by the way, since you're here, would you sign my petition? That would not be considered a bribe. You're giving them the ability to say yes or no. You're not withholding the pie if they don't. So there is a distinct difference in what we're talking about on a bribe. The bribe is you get the beer if you sign my petition. If you don't, you don't get it. And in a social setting, if you want to, you can. We're going to have these refreshments anyway. You have that ability to say yes or no. So there is a distinct difference. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, this bill passed out of local government without a dissenting vote, without any opposing testimony. I'd ask for your positive vote and vote yes on House Bill 1018. I'll remain available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House, final passage of House Bill 1018. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Colson votes aye. Representative Rosen. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
That was my fault, Arlene. Sorry. Members, the clerk, please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 66 yeas, 2 nays.
House Bill 1018, having received a majority vote of the members elected, hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1032. An act to revise certain provisions regarding the money, clothing, and transportation furnished inmates released from the Department of Corrections.
House Bill 1032, having had its second reason for consideration, final passage. Are there any remarks?
Speaker.
Representative Hayek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this is at the request of the Department of Corrections and is actually designed
to be more responsive to a dismissal of parolees or individuals who are leaving the prison. Currently, an inmate is given clothing, a sum of money called gate money, and transportation to the county they were sentenced from upon release. It does not allow for any subsequent. This bill will essentially allow for a second time around. If they come back in, many of them are readmitted, so that the discretion will be with the department to determine if transportation and gate money is needed. And they also can send them to a comparable distance as rather than back to the county of origin of where they were sentenced. So they can send them somewhere else. So the cost on this will be $5,000 to $15,000 max, but it does allow the Department of Corrections to send the inmates elsewhere and out a second time. I asked for your, it was a 13-0, and excuse my back, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative.
It's 13-0 passed unanimously, and I asked for it to pass.
And further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1032. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Magstead and Olson. Representative Magstead. Magstead votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 65 yeas, 3 nays.
House Bill 1032, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1024, an act to provide for the addition of certain employees of the municipality of Sioux Falls to the South Dakota retirement system.
House Bill 1024, having had a second reading, up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 1024 brings Sioux Falls city employees hired after June 30th, 2013, into the South Dakota retirement system. Sioux Falls will retain all employees hired before July 1st, 2013, in the city's existing retirement system. The city of Sioux Falls is the only municipality remaining in South Dakota that is operating its own pension plan. This bill is necessary because the current statute, South Dakota Codified Law 3-12-67, states that if a political subdivision elects to participate in the SDRS, all employees in a class must be members of the SDRS. Since the city of Sioux Falls is only adding future employees, this bill is needed to permit just the new employees to be members of SDRS. The proposed legislation is truly a win-win. The city of Sioux Falls will realize cost savings pertaining to the ability to provide a solid retirement plan for their future employees through the SDRS, and ultimately, long-term, will be out of the pension plan business. SDRS will gain additional membership and revenue. This addition of the new Sioux Falls employees will be no different than an addition of any other new employee to SDRS across the state. SDRS is in full support of this bill. This change is in keeping with the original legislative intent of consolidated retirement system for public employees in this state. Thank you, fellow members, for your time and attention. I ask that you support this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further remarks? See no further remarks. Question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1024. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members shall proceed to vote.
Solemn votes aye. Representatives Duval and Verschiel. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 68 yeas.
House Bill 10. Thank you. House Bill 1024 had received a majority vote of the members elected, hereby declare it passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1025, an act to revise certain actuarial and reporting requirements relating to the South Dakota retirement system.
House Bill 1025, having had a second reading, up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Boland.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I begin my remarks today, I would like to just acknowledge that a good representative from District 12 happens to be absent. He was going to be the main person to carry this bill on the floor, so I'm, in a sense, pinch-hitting for him. House Bill 1025 is a bill that clarifies the fact that the South Dakota Legislature, in conjunction with the South Dakota Retirement Board, has the authority to make changes in the COLA, the cost of living adjustment, and other aspects of the fund to maintain the long-term viability of the fund. We live in uncertain economic times. Back in 2009, the South Dakota Legislature made some changes that would preserve the long-term viability of the fund during what we oftentimes call the Great Recession. This was litigated. It was taken to court. The court supported the South Dakota retirement system and the authority of the legislature to make these changes. However, they did encourage that this be put clearly into statute so that there would be no question about this in the future. And so that's what House Bill 1025 puts this into statute and clearly states that in case of great economic turmoil and difficulty, South Dakota legislature, along with the South Dakota Retirement Board, has the authority to make changes which can maintain the long-term viability of the number one rated pension fund in the United States. We heard that testimony when we heard this in Retirement Law Committee. So I invite other members to jump in if they like, but I strongly urge you to vote yes on this particular bill. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1025. Those in favor vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members shall proceed to vote.
Greenfield Fields, aye. Representatives Hayek, Heinert, and Nelson. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 68 yeas.
House Bill 1025, having received a majority vote of the members elected, hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1012, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the students eligible for resident tuition benefits at universities controlled by the Board of Regents.
House Bill 1012, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 1012 was brought to the Committee on State Affairs by the Board of Regents. This bill changes three things in the residency requirements for resident tuition rates from all of our Board of Regents universities. First, it provides that anyone who graduated from a South Dakota high school would be eligible for resident tuition without limitation. Currently, a South Dakota high school graduate no longer qualifies after leaving the state for 7 years, or if a parent or legal guardian no longer lives in the state. The residency of an unemancipated student will track with that of a parent or legal guardian up to the age of 24, where currently it is the age of 21. We're just conforming to what to the same type of ages that we use for FAFSA. Students who marry South Dakota residents will now be eligible for resident tuition. This is currently one of the many factors that must be considered in making a residency decision. Why are these changes recommended? Changes in residency classification are being sought to address a fairness issue in the treatment of students in unusual or isolated circumstances. For example, if a student graduates from a South Dakota high school, leaves, and then comes back to the state for whatever reason, they usually have roots and ties to this state. Treating them like a resident is the best thing to do for South Dakota and provides consistent treatment for all South Dakota high school graduates. Students also live longer with their parents now and often follow parents when they relocate, even when attending college. Finally, when a non-resident student marries a South Dakota resident, it is difficult to give resident status under the current law, but it's the right thing to do. There's a fiscal impact to this that the Board of Regents brought up in testimony to the state of South Dakota. They figure, with their best estimate, that 50 students will become eligible for resident tuition under this bill. That'll come to the amount of annual tuition revenue amounting to about $95,000. However, the public university system also estimates that they will gain 10 additional students by this change, thus increasing the tuition to the Board of Regents by $74,000 annually. So the best estimate is there would be a net loss to the Board of Regents system of about $21,000. And at this time, Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment at the desk.
Is that 1012RA?
That is correct.
Has it been distributed?
It has.
Do you move it at this time?
I do.
Proceed.
May I speak to the amendment on the bill?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. During testimony in the State Affairs Committee, if you'll look on the first page of the bill, line 8 and 9 were struck. And in committee, we amended it, but it ended up being not quite being what we wanted. In this case, line 8 and 9 of the original bill allowed for a student who is a current resident of the state of South Dakota, but is going to a school 10 miles away in Minnesota, or a private Catholic institution, or a private parochial school in another state, could not come back, even though they are a legal resident of the state of South Dakota. Their parents are there, born and bred South Dakota kids. Just because they're graduating from a school outside of the state of South Dakota, they were not allowed in. So we wanted to make sure that we protected them. So therefore, we have 1012RA, which started out, I'm sure, at AB, but we've had a number of different changes to it. So basically what this amendment does then is it encapsulates those people we wanted to encapsulate. The people who are born and raised in South Dakota, but for some reason are attending school outside of South Dakota, whether it be a parochial school or it's the closest school to their residence. They're still residents. They come home. They spend their holidays with their family. Their family lives here. And then it also says, I'll just explain some of the wording changes to the amendment. Any citizen or other person entitled under law to establish a residence in the United States who graduates from South Dakota high school. South Dakota residence is not defined. Therefore, we wanted to make sure that under the Board of Regents system as it is now, they do not at this time accept students who are not legal residents of the United States of America or the thus citizens of the state of South Dakota. And so this just puts it in law that in order to be able to qualify for resident tuition, you have to be a legal citizen of the United States of America and a resident of the state of South Dakota while you're attending school, so your parents do. Just so long as you are living in the state of South Dakota, but you are sent away, your parents, legal guardians, are residents living in the state of South Dakota and legal, you are allowed tuition under resident tuition under this amendment. So I would ask that you pass the amendment and pass the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the House.
Thank you. Any further comments on the motion to amend? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. We are back on the bill 1012 as amended. Any further remarks? Seeing none, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1012 as amended. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Feikert and Lust. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 68 yeas.
House Bill 1012 is amended, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1011, an act to authorize the Board of Hearing Aid Dispensers and Audiologists to establish a 30-day trial period for the sale of hearing aids.
House Bill 1011, having had its second reading, for consideration and final passage, are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Soli.
Mr. Speaker, I request permission to address the House.
You may proceed.
Honorable members of the House, I ask for your support for House Bill 1011, which came out of the Health and Human Services Committee with a unanimous vote. This bill provides consumer protection for those who purchase hearing aids. Any purchaser of a hearing aid or hearing aids will be entitled to a refund within 30 days of the purchase if they're not satisfied and want to return them. Now, this is a minimum of 30 days, a 30-day period for a refund, and this bill is allowed up to a 10% deduction for administrative costs that might come from the company. Now, there are manufacturers who provide a longer trial period, but there are some who apparently that provide none. So this is an important protection. I urge the support of this bill to provide this protection for hearing-impaired consumers in our state who have a need for this important product. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, honorable members of the House.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? See no further remarks. Question me. Representative Russell, you just snuck in there. We'll give it to you.
We are moving awfully fast. When I took a look at this bill today, for my own old self-interest, I had a little bit of a question, and that is as to the public policy decision to essentially make a crime out of a contractual matter. And what I mean by this is we're making this a Class 2 misdemeanor on this 30-day business about whether or not you can return one of these rather expensive items. However, I was thinking of my days as a state's attorney, and I never did have anything like this come up, but I was thinking about why in the world we would want the state's attorney and the criminal justice system involved in a contract dispute of this nature. I can certainly understand that we would want to have potentially some kind of a penalty or maybe treble damages, which would mean triple or quadruple damages for some kind of a violation of the statute. But I know that the representative that's pitching the bill can't necessarily answer my question, but what I'm trying to figure out in my own mind and haven't been able to rectify is why in the world we would be having public policy decisions like this being made by the state's attorney essentially in a contractual conflict. And for that reason, I intend to vote no, and hopefully somebody can ask the question in the committee on the Senate side, because there must be some good rationale as to why this would occur. But I can tell you from my own perspective that the state's attorneys of this state, a lot of them are way too busy to be dealing in every contractual matter that occurs in the state of South Dakota. And I certainly understand that the board here has requested this and that it's been vetted through the Department of Health and Human Services and so on and so forth. But I sincerely hope that on the Senate side, somebody gets to the bottom of what the rationale for such a determination might be. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker?
Would anybody like to speak before Representative Sully speaks for a second time?
Speaker.
Representative Mixtat.
Yeah, I'd like to point out in response to that, that is not what's newly inserted into the statute. That has already been in statute prior to this. The if you look at the bill, that is not the new amended area. The new amended area is the consumer protection piece of this for really what is essentially an out-of-pocket purchase by a consumer. And it's not an $8.50 purchase from Walgreens. It's a medical device that requires a certain amount of time for the wearer to wear for weeks to test out their hearing aid in various places, test out their hearing aid to see if it works on the floor in the House of Representatives versus in their home. And so it's not one of those things that you can take, try it on, walk out the door with it and think that it works well. It has to be tested in various places. So that's why I'm supporting this bill, as it's, you know, typically an out-of-pocket expense for a medical device somewhere between $2,500 to $10,000 for these hearing aids. And part of our job here is also to ensure the public's welfare and to make sure that we do have laws in place that do protect consumers in cases like this. And so I urge you to vote green. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Nelson. Is your microphone on, Representative?
No, but the yes button was, sir. One of the reasons why that is in statute is because crimes against the elderly, such as defraudment, is a huge problem in the United States. And I would encourage to retain that in there because it does help our elderly and prevent the fraud that's perpetrated on them. I'm rising in support of the good representative's bill. I'd ask folks to go green on this. I think it's definitely a worthwhile endeavor. It also provides a little bit more protection to our elderly when they're procuring these devices. They are not cheap, and this gives them a little bit more security and safety in the market for these things. So please go green on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak from a perspective of a daughter-in-law whose mother-in-law had hearing aids and who would take her to the specialist. And when we were on our way home from Sioux Falls, she would say, you know, I don't think these are really working. And I would ask, why didn't you tell the doctor? And she said, well, I didn't want to bother him. So then we would have to make another appointment, which might be another week before we could get in, and then we would take him in. And then at that point, I would say, no, Lorraine, do you have anything else you would like to say to the doctor? Sometimes our elderly just don't always address things that they should. And I think I would rise to support this bill to give 30 days for the person to get used to the device.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Would any other member of the House like to speak before Representative Soli speaks for a second time? Seeing none, Representative Soli.
Thank you. Just a few more things to add to this. Person who presented from the hearing aid dispenser and audiologist told us that there have been had 39 complaints in the last 5 years related to this. So it is a problem that exists, and 48 of 50 states have this same kind of arrangement in order to protect that. And I know nobody meant anything bad by mentioning the elderly, but I've had hearing aids now for 10 weeks, and it does take a while to get used to them, and the protection is important.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? See no further remarks. Question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1011. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the member shall proceed to vote.
Representative Dryden. Oh, Dryden votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 61 yeas, 7 nays.
House Bill 1011, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1019, an act to authorize the involuntary treatment of jailed prisoners with psychotropic medication.
House Bill 1019, having had its second reading for consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and representatives. House Bill 1019 is a bill from the Governor's Behavioral Health Work Group that allows jails to involuntarily treat a prisoner with a severe mental illness who is likely to improve with treatment and without the treatment poses a likelihood of serious harm to self or others. Current law already gives the state penitentiary this ability, but at this time, county jails do not have this same statutory authority. As a result, prisoners in jail who have severe mental illness and are refusing treatment can go untreated during their incarceration. This bill is a permissive bill. That means jails may choose to use this process, but are not required to do so. This bill allows basically for two scenarios that it speaks to. The first scenario would be a more non-emergency mental illness. And in this case, the patient has a 48-hour notice prior to a hearing consisting of two medical representatives and a representative appointed by the county sheriff. The medical representatives must include at least one physician. The prisoner has the right to attend the hearing, the right to present evidence and cross-examine witnesses, and the right to representation by a disinterested lay advisor that is educated in psychiatric issues. The panel may order involuntary treatment with psychotropic medication by majority vote of the panel if the physician is in the majority. If involuntary treatment is to exceed 30 days, a physician who is not attending will review the inmate's records at least every 30 days and make a written determination whether to continue involuntary treatment. The second scenario this bill addresses is an emergency situation where the patient is acutely in danger of harming self or others. In this situation, involuntary treatment of a prisoner with psychotropic medication may be administered without panel review for up to a maximum of 10 days if the treatment is ordered by two physicians. House Bill 1019 requires the county sheriff to maintain records of any involuntary treatment with psychotropic medication, as well as the frequency of treatment and any available medical history of a prisoner's mental illness. This bill also states that no person serving on the panel or the attending physician or those participating in the involuntary treatment with psychotropic medication of a prisoner may be held civilly or criminally liable for treatment if the person performs these duties in good faith and according to accepted medical standards. I recommend support for House Bill 1019. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1019. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 63 yeas, 5 nays.
House Bill 1019, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1047, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the examination for an application for a funeral service license.
House Bill 1047, having had its second reading, up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Hawks.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow members of the House, 1047 fixes testing and licensing procedures for new funeral directors, The new law would allow people to test at the time they have completed their internship. Prior to this, candidates would have to wait until a quorum of the Board of Funeral Directors would meet. This is an inconvenience due to the fact that this board tends to meet only once a year, meaning some candidates for licensure may have to wait 10 to 11 months to be approved for testing. This bill does not change any of the rules or regulations relating to the education and licensing of funeral directors, only the availability of testing times. I urge you to support HB 1047. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Very well done. Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1047. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Representative Steele. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 68 yeas.
House Bill 1047, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1039, an act to clarify the gross receipts subjects to taxation by the retail sales and service tax, the gross receipts tax on visitor-related businesses, the municipal non-ad valorem tax, and the municipal gross receipts tax.
House Bill 1039, having had its second read, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. This law, House Bill 1039, simply clarifies our codified statutes to continue the current practice, which is that we do not charge a tax on top of another tax. This was at the request of the Department of Revenue and Regulation, came to the Taxation Committee, and passed unanimously. And I urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House, the final passage of House Bill 1039. Those in favor vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Representative Feichert, Hansen, Hoffman, and Verschiel. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 68 yeas.
House Bill 1039, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. Announcements. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tuesday morning, House Local Government will be meeting as scheduled time, 10 a.m. We have five bills on the docket. We'll be visited by our esteemed guest from Gregory County. She's got four of those bills, so please come on up and enjoy if you have nothing better to do. Thank you.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last time I spoke, I got applauded. That was a little overwhelming. My fan base has now left the building, but I want to talk to my taxation committee members now. We will not have a meeting on Tuesday morning, so you can once again go ahead, spend a few more hours with your families. Thank you.
Representative Virtue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a transportation committee meeting Tuesday morning. Thank you.
Representative Carson. Representative Carson, go ahead.
Thank you. Appropriations will have a briefing at 7:15 on Tuesday.
that we're having the Department of Education. Everybody's welcome. The hearing starts at 8 o'clock.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Representative Munsterman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No Health and Human Services meeting on Tuesday. No meeting on Tuesday.
Further announcements? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. In the House Ag and Natural Resources on Tuesday morning at 7:45 sharp, we'll be having the Game, Fish, and Parks give our presentation, which is really very interesting. A few bills after that. The other thing I'd like to share with you is that on January 29th, you all have received from Attorney General Marty Jackley, the legislator, it's an enforcement building, the Mickelson tour, but it's also a legislative shootout. You don't need to have a pistol. They'll provide one. The only other rules that we have is that you can't bring any bullets, any of your armament, except your pistol, into the Mickelson building. It's really a lot of fun. There'll be the lobbyists and the legislators are the only people who will be allowed there. And there'll be a traveling trophy. Last year, Representative Nelson won the event. And we're going to change the rules a little bit with his permission, of course. It will only be semi-autos, handguns, that are used in the competition. Of course, for fun, you can go shoot your long barrel 6x6 revolver. But it's a $5 charge for the shells, and they're all non-toxic. And you can shoot as many times as you'd like. The listing of events is here. It's a great event. It's great for us. It's great for us to get to know the building. And so you know, we'll be asking you for a $20 donation, which goes on top of the $5. All that goes to CASA in Mitchell. And their main focus is taking care of children of veterans when the veterans are gone and service programs. So it's really a good organization. Stace ran this last year. Representative Nelson, sorry, Mr. Speaker. Representative Nelson ran this last year. He asked me to run it this year. We may ask one of you to run it next year. Please, everybody, show up for this. It'll be your one time that everybody out there will be engaging in showing us our Mickelson Law Enforcement Building. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further announcements? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. The shooting that we did last year, Representative Nelson outdid the rest of us so badly that I'm wondering if Representative Hoffman can make a special ruling that they can't have that trophy 2 years in a row.
Representative Steele, is there any truth to the rumor he was adjusting sights on all the other pistols before it started? Any further announcements?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Craig. The representative with two first names. I was trying to decide which one.
Not an announcement, but a word of encouragement.
Shoot.
No pun intended. I have thoroughly enjoyed being a member of this House of Representatives. And as we return at the close of week number two, in case constituents may question those of us who did, in fact, vote in favor of this half-cent tourism tax, perhaps one thing you might share is this. It is more about what we give than what we get. It's a new way to look at this, perhaps. South Dakota, we love and we believe in it. And would we not all agree that the United States of America could sure use a good dose of South Dakota? South Dakota needs to rub off on the other 49 states. Tourism is a great way to do it. I saw it in Hawaii, living there 11 years. That aloha spirit, we called it, had a wonderful way of rubbing off on people. And for all you know, a tourist, like myself, I was a tourist here before I became a resident. Tourists sometimes become residents, and sometimes tourists even end up in your House of Representatives. So I encourage you with that, to encourage the people, your constituents, that South Dakota needs to be spreading the love.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
And with that, Representative Steele. Those in favor of adjourning say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
We are adjourned.